This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. It is the best bits of today's show. It's a Thursday, the 21st of March. What have we got for you? Well, all eyes on the Fed. Wednesday night, we had the Fed keeping rates on hold and the press conference from Jay Powell. We're going to hear from him, Mr. Powell, and from Khatija Haque, reaction from the chief economist of Emirates NBD. More reaction as well. What does it mean for the mortgage market? Are interest rates going to be higher for longer? It's never good for real estate to have higher interest rates, although Dubai seems to have weathered that storm in recent years. John Lyons of Espace Real Estate giving his thoughts. And finally, a company you've never heard of, Tungsten. Who are they? Right, they are what's called a crypto custodian. Essentially, they look after cryptos at the back office to keep them safe from naughty hackers and stuff. And they do it for investment banks and investment funds and family offices. It was backed by ADQ, the Abu Dhabi Wealth Fund. So it's got deep pockets and it's just got its license in Abu Dhabi Global Market. The boss is Chris Desjardins. Now, he's a Canadian. He's been doing this in Canada at university and companies for years. Now he's here, founder and senior executive officer of Tungsten. We'll hear from him later on. But of course, only one place to start today, and that is with the Fed.
Brandy, you've got Khatija joining us a little later on Teams. Yeah.
Look, it is the morning after the night before, or in our case, the morning after the afternoon before, because it was 2 p.m. Over there, but because of time difference, we are looking at the rate decision, which we knew was going to happen. We knew it was going to be kept on hold. The question was, what were people going to say about it? And where were they going to put the dot on the plot? Shall we hear from Jay Powell now, Rich? I know you have been cutting a bit of his speech.
Yeah, this is him speaking last night. First up, Jerome Powell, when he stood up at the dais just after the announcement was made that they're keeping rates on hold. What's he going to say? Well, this is what he had to say.
Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. Inflation is still too high. Ongoing progress in bringing it down is not assured. And the path forward is uncertain.
Right, we could have written that this time yesterday.
Someone did.
Exactly, someone did. Fair point. So, fine, kept rates on hold, still worried about inflation. But he was asked at a press conference afterwards, but inflation's coming down, Chair Powell. What about the risks of cutting too late and hurting the US economy? And then he got a little bit more substantive in his answer. And he said, yes, that is a risk. And we're battling two risks at the moment.
The risks are really two-sided here. We're in a situation where, you know, if we ease too much or too soon, we could see inflation come back. And if we ease too late, we could do unnecessary harm to employment and, you know, people's working lives. And so, you know, we do see the risks as two-sided. So it is consequential. We want to be careful. And fortunately, with the economy growing, with the labor market strong, and with inflation coming down, we can approach that question carefully and let the data speak on that.
Which U.S. president was it who said, please give me a one-sided economist?
Oh, yeah, because a one-handed economist, because they keep saying, on the one hand and on the other hand.
So everyone cares about what does it mean for interest rates going forward in the aforementioned dot plot. Well, markets rallied on the back of his comments. The U.S. stock market finished at another record high. The Nikkei in Tokyo is having a bit of a party this morning. That's at a record high as well, because, as Brandy said, there are three dots on the plot for this year, and that's what people wanted to hear. So this is Jay Powell, his thoughts on future rate cuts this year.
We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year.
So for me, I didn't get everything I wanted at Christmas. I wanted a rate cut, because I'm a dove and I want interest rates lower, rightly or wrongly. But I didn't just get socks. So maybe I wanted a gaming PC. Didn't get that, but I did get an iPad, not socks. So I'm reasonably happy. Brandy, you're more of the I would say, hawkish, inflation hawkish stance on monetary policy. What did you make of it?
I think we're going to see exactly what it said on the tin. Khadija was in at the beginning of Central Bank Week, because it's not just the Fed this week. And she said, look, some investors are looking towards July, but I would argue that after what we heard yesterday, okay, yeah, da-da-da-da-da, we need evidence, da-da-da-da-da, but we're looking at June, aren't we?
Looks that way, but there is a growing chorus that says you might not get any rate cuts this year, and Larry Summers is one of them.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
It is Fed Day for us, because it has been for them. We are having a look at the words that came from the Fed Chair, Jay Powell, rather than the movements, because as widely expected, the Fed kept rates on hold. On the line to make sense of it all for us is Khadija Haque, Chief Economist and Head of Research at Emirates NBD. Morning, Khadija.
Good morning, Brandy.
Right, so on hold, yes, and the normal talk from the Fed about it being all about the data in a very Goldilocks sort of way. He said we're not overreacting to data, but we're not going to ignore it either. What is he looking for then?
So I think we've obviously seen a couple of readings where inflation has come in a little bit higher than had been expected, and the pace of the slowdown in inflation that we saw last year has stalled. And I think what they are looking for is that last year was not just about base effects and normalization, but in actual fact, a real sustainable cooling in inflation. And so they want more data to see that that downward trend remains in play, and that they will get to the 2% targets and be confident about that before they start to ease policy rates.
He also said that strong hiring in itself isn't a reason to hold off on rate cuts. Is he not looking at the job numbers anymore? Is it literally all about inflation?
No, look, the job numbers are important, but I think what the Fed has been, what they have already said several times over the last few months is that normally when you are looking for a cooling in the labor market, it generally leads to a rise in unemployment. So people have to lose their jobs in order to kind of bring wage inflation down. But what's been happening over the last couple of years is we've seen a return of immigration to a large extent to the US. And so people are coming in to fill the open jobs, and it's not leading to layoffs, but wage inflation is actually slowing because you've got many more people coming in to do the jobs. And that's sort of taking some of the heat out of the market. So effectively, they're saying that you can sustain a higher pace of new jobs added every month as long as you've got people coming in to fill those jobs, because that means the pressure on wage inflation is significantly lower. So I think that has helped. And it means that they're not necessarily looking for a decline in the non-farm payrolls numbers every month, because as long as people are coming in to fill those roles, it's not really inflationary.
You, like many other economists, have been watching the dot plot. What have you taken from it?
So I actually found it a little bit surprising in the context of their economic projections. So if we look at their forecasts for 2024, they revised up the GDP growth forecast quite significantly. So they now have it at 2.1% from 1.4% in December. They've upgraded their forecasts for core PCE inflation from 2.4 to 2.6, and they've reduced the forecast unemployment rate from 4.1 to 4.0. So that is a story of a very, very strong economy, slightly higher inflation, much higher growth, lower unemployment, but they've kept the dots at 325 basis point cuts this year. So ordinarily, if you have that kind of stronger economic outlook and higher inflation outlook, you would have expected them to be a bit more cautious on cutting rates and perhaps reduce the number of cuts for 2024. Instead, what they seem to have done is pushed that out to 2025, where in December they had penciled in 4 25 basis point cuts in next year. They've now reduced that to 3. So the path for interest rate cuts going forward is fewer, but over 3 years rather than just this year. So it's a shallower trajectory for interest rates. And in the longer term, I think the implication is that interest rates won't go back to where they were pre-pandemic, and we may see a higher level of what's considered neutral going forward.
Why do you think they've done that, Khadija? We've got about 40 seconds left with you.
I think they're just are not really sure where neutral policy rates are at the moment. There's been real fundamental changes in the US economy and the global economy. And I think they're just looking to see how things evolve. The outlook is uncertain. We don't know what the impact of the election will be on economic policy from the government going forward. So I think they're just keeping their options open.
30 seconds. What does all of that mean for us here in the UAE?
Hopefully, we still get 3 rate cuts in the second half of this year, which will help to bring borrowing costs down, both for consumers and for businesses, and should support growth going into 2025.
And for the property market, higher for longer?
Well, no. This year, we should still see 325 basis point rate cuts. So mortgage rates should come down. But we do think the property market is set to cool anyway, because we've had a couple of years of very strong growth. And that's not really sustainable.
Khadija Haque is Chief Economist and Head of Research at Emirates NBD. Thank you so much for your time this morning, speaking to us about the Fed's fairly baked-on decision to keep interest rates on hold. But, as she said, a few surprises in projections for the US economy in terms of what those in the Fed expect to happen.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Where we are having a look at that Fed decision to keep rates on hold and what it might mean for our property market here in Dubai. John Lyons is the Managing Director of Espace Real Estate. John, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get your take as the man with the shoes on the ground, let's hear very quickly from Jay Powell about the decision that we knew they were going to make, but we're interested in his chat about what might come next. This is Jay Powell talking about his rate decision and also inflation.
Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. Inflation is still too high. Ongoing progress in bringing it down is not assured, and the path forward is uncertain.
But this is a man whose job is to be as steady in what he says as anything. He wears a purple tie, not too red and not too blue. Khadija Haque, Chief Economist of Emirates NBD, we've been speaking to this morning as well about what this might mean for the property market from the economist's point of view.
Well, no, this year, we should still see 325 basis point rate cuts. So mortgage rates should come down. But we do think the property market is set to cool anyway, because we've had a couple of years of very strong growth. And that's not really sustainable.
In the studio, a man who's not seeing it cool yet is the Espace Real Estate Managing Director, John Lyons. As I said, morning, John.
Good morning.
Do you think that those rates being kept higher for longer will have any effect on our market?
Honestly, not really. If it goes down 2 times this year, or if it is 3 times as many expect, I don't think it's going to make a huge amount of difference. Any cuts to interest rates is going to act as a tailwind for the real estate market, and therefore it's good news. So 3 cuts is good news, 2 cuts is good news. Mortgage rates continue to become more affordable. Even as we wait for rate cuts, they're still becoming more affordable. Now you can get a 3-year fix for 3.89%, and that's cheaper than when I was last on the show just a month ago. So mortgage products are becoming more affordable, and that tailwind is already, therefore, in the Dubai real estate market.
Okay, well, let's break that down because there is an awful lot in that. When you say it won't have any effect, are there people on the sidelines waiting for rates to come down to buy?
I'm sure there will be, but the problem with that is if you're waiting on the sidelines for mortgage rates to come down because you obviously want a more affordable mortgage product, you're maybe losing out by the fact that prices continue to rise. And in the first 2 months of this year, January and February, in every community that we track, that's 30 communities, prices have risen quite significantly. In Arabian Ranches, for example, it's over 7%. In just 2 months alone. So I wouldn't be waiting. If you're thinking of buying in the short term, I wouldn't wait too long.
But behavioral economics tell us that people are not rational. We are emotional beasts. And one of the things that comes with interest rates is a psychological effect, isn't it? So let's take the other half of that story. If we do see 2 or 3 cuts this year, 2 or 3 cuts next year, what impact could that have on demand?
Well, it should make demand increase in theory, because that tailwind should have its effect on the market. And a lot of people are still making that decision. Should I buy or should I rent? And if it becomes even more affordable to buy and the monthly cost of servicing a mortgage are significantly cheaper than the monthly cost of servicing rent, which will happen if rates come down, then it's going to further enhance the decision to buy.
We're talking about property that's already standing here, but what does all of this mean for the off-plan market? And two types of buyers, both those who have already put their deposit down and are, you know, paying according to the scheme, but who will be becoming eligible for a mortgage, some of them very shortly.
Yes, I mean, the off-plan market is obviously driven partly by speculation, and high interest rates, I would say, are a barrier for the off-plan market because there's alternative places where people can speculate with their money with less risk, i.e. fixed deposits. So as interest rates fall and fixed deposit rates fall and bond rates start to fall, then people need to probably take more speculation. And therefore, what is already a very hot market, being the off-plan market, could in theory see more capital brought into that market. Not everyone's going to put their money into the off-plan market just because interest rates fall, but interest rates falling means that money does flow from safer asset classes into more speculative asset classes as people are looking for greater returns.
Well, the second type of those buyers, of course, people who will be looking at some of that off-plan property once it's available to be sold, once it's hit a certain threshold, will be buying at lower interest rates. What could that mean for the price of that property when it comes on?
Yes, I mean, when a new project hands over, it can be a bumpy ride. Obviously, you're creating a lot of supply at that moment that it hands over. You have to have demand that can absorb that supply. But I think that people that buy in the off-plan market shouldn't think, what's it going to be worth the day after I get the keys? They should be thinking, what is it going to be worth years to come? And in the end of the day, there will be buyers to buy properties that get handed over in the off-plan market. There will be tenants as well. Prices can move a little bit lower in the short term for those properties. Maybe not. It depends who's there at that time. And it's difficult to forecast exactly what the demand will be many years in the future. But one thing's for sure, we can see population growth continue. We've talked about it many times before. And Dubai needs more supply. So my view is, if you're buying long term, then you're going to see strong demand for your properties.
What kind of demand are you seeing at the moment? What are the first few months of the year been for you?
Yeah, it's been an interesting first few months. We're 10% up year to date for buyer registrations. But the last 4 weeks, it's really accelerated. If we look at the last 4 weeks compared to the same 4 week period last year, we're 31% up for buyer registrations. And what's very interesting for us is that last week was the third highest week we've ever had for buyer registrations. The week before was the second highest week. And the week before that, 3 weeks ago, highest week ever for buyer registrations, not just in absolute terms, but also at a per broker level. So that accounts for the fact that the number of brokers at ESPAS is changing at any given time. And 2 weeks ago was the highest week we've ever had for signed sales MOUs. So very busy.
So what's happened in the last 3 weeks?
The last 4 weeks, I don't know, but certainly any pent-up demand from what might have been a slightly slower start to the year in January has certainly come back into the market. And our brokers have probably never been busier than they have in the last 4 weeks.
How does that fit in with a Hampton International report I was reading the other day saying that villa sales in Dubai are half what they were the year before, the month before, because of lack of stock?
It depends which community they're in, but, you know...
I'm going to clarify my numbers here. Year on year, half, but I think month on month up 22%. They were saying, there's just not the villas. It's not that people don't want them, we just don't have them.
Okay, well, we're not finding that. We've sold 20 villas this year so far, 2.5 months in just the Meadows alone. So these are standalone villas that are trading at 8, 10, 15 million dirhams, and we've sold 20 of them. That's one company. Now, admittedly, we have a high percentage of that market, but 20 villas being signed in one community doesn't suggest that there's a slow real estate market.
5 seconds, no Ramadan slowdown then?
Definitely not. Hasn't happened.
John Lyons is the Managing Director of ESPAS Real Estate.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
The aforementioned guest is Chris Desjardins. He's the founder and senior executive officer of Tungsten, which has just got its ADGM license. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Thank you for driving down from Abu Dhabi
Thanks for having us
this morning. So Tungsten, in simple terms, is a company that helps to keep crypto wallets safe. it's more than that, but in simple terms, that's what you do. Founded by ADQ out of Abu Dhabi, they brought you over from Canada to run the show, and they've just got the license in ADGM. Tell us why you decided that this was a good idea when the phone rang, when you're sitting in Canada, and some guy from Abu Dhabi says, Chris, we've got a blockchain thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in institutional crypto, specifically in custody, since 2017. I was chief of product over at Brain, which is a Canadian regulated custodian, when this opportunity came up. And it was just, you know, too good to ignore. I decided to visit, and I really knew nothing about the UAE, and I was blown away. Socially, politically, economically, this is an incredible region. And on top of it, you know, having spoken to the regulators at ADGM and seeing how forward-thinking they were and how friendly they were towards virtual assets, it was a no-brainer. You know, I think back west, the regulators aren't as forward-thinking, and there's a lot more friction when it comes to the adoption of virtual assets. So this was just a wonderful opportunity.
And it's got strong backing. ADQ, the Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund, is, well, they're the ones who gave you the call, aren't they? Because they're the ones who had the idea to set up Tungsten. But this is not for my Bitcoin wallet or Tom's Bitcoin wallet. This is just for institutions, isn't it, who have got cryptocurrencies. And you do the custody, so you look after it in the background. I'm oversimplifying. Am I getting anywhere near the truth?
I think you're pretty close. So Further Ventures, the venture building studio arm of ADQ, decided that they wanted to build a venture that was a custodian for virtual assets. So the concept of a custodian has existed in traditional finance for many, many decades. Custodian, you know, acts as an independent third party and holds assets for institutions, right? And you will see them as a counterparty in situations where you have exchanges, clearinghouses, settlement. A custodian is a fundamental, and it's a fundamental in virtual assets as well. So what we do is we hold large sums of money for institutions, and we apply governance, controls, and oversight to every single transfer that's asked of us from our clients.
So what's your client list at the moment? You start with a client list of zero, obviously. Every
that's
company
right.
does. You've been with them almost a year now. So you've been working in the background before this big launch and the announcement of the license. Are we still at zero, or are we?
No, we're not at zero. We have assets under custody. We've got recurring revenue. We've got security certifications, ISO 27001, SOC 2. We've got our financial services permission from ADGM, from the regulators, FSRA. And we're looking to just acquire more business, hire more people, and grow this business.
So who are your customers? Maybe you can't name names because I'm sure you've signed NDAs, but paint a picture of the type of person who
sure.
is or will be a customer of you.
So customers are institutions, of course. They are asset managers, high net worth individuals, virtual asset miners, broker-dealers, trading firms, foundations, all sorts of institutions that have exposure to virtual assets.
But I'm joking apart saying you can't name names. You've signed an NDA. Can you name names?
I can't, no.
And you never will.
it's not something we do. Whenever you work with institutions of these profiles, you know, it's part and parcel of the job that we do.
But are some of them international names, or are they all local names? Can you
tell
me that?
For now, we're very much focused on the UAE, right? We're focused on this jurisdiction. Our value proposition is protecting our clients from geopolitical risk, giving them regulatory clarity. And this region is wonderful for that, you know, specifically ADGM. Now, this doesn't mean that this value proposition doesn't apply itself to institutions outside of this jurisdiction. But for now, we're very much focused on people within ADGM and more broadly speaking, the UAE.
Right. Okay. So you came from Canada. You've been doing this for years there. Looking at your LinkedIn profile, you spend a decade or so at some very prestigious universities in Canada doing research on this kind of thing. So you clearly know your beans. That's the Tungsten story. But you're part of a bigger story. One of our headlines this morning, and lots of people carrying it, 70% of companies in ADGM plan to expand this year. And I think there are 11,000 of them already. It's already busy to the point that you've had to set up in Ream Island next door, which is now part of the ADGM jurisdiction, but not on Almaria Island, where it was initially founded, because there was just no more room left. What are you seeing there? What does it feel like to be walking around there? When you speak to your mates back in Canada and they say, how's life in Abu Dhabi? What do you tell them?
I think that Canadians generally, and I'm stereotyping, but have a very naive view, as I did, of the Middle East in general. You know, when I came over here, I was absolutely, amazed at the, geopolitical situation, the economic situation, how progressive it was. So really the stories that I tell to my friends and family back home are stories that really change the perspective completely on what this country means and what it's all about.
Is it full ADGM at the moment? Because it's great that they've incorporated Ream Island next door, but we've been going to ADGM for years. We've been broadcasting from there, and it's a lovely place, and Almaria Island, they've built it really nicely. Looks and feels like a financial centre. They've got a Zuma, happy days. But Ream Island is, a little bit around the corner. I looked on Google Maps this morning. It's a 14-minute drive. There's about 7 U-turns involved in that. You probably walk it quicker. But you know what I mean? The fact that you've had to go around the corner to Ream Island. What does that say?
That says that there's expansion and that there's interest. And that really ADGM is the place where people want to be, and that they've had to expand above and beyond Almeria to include Al-Ream because there's just so much demand, Before we were on Ream Island, we were at the Etihad Airways Center, on Al Raha Beach. And it took us, months to find office space.
Is it, I'm getting to that. How hot is it even for you, backed by ADQ? I mean, that carries some clout in Abu Dhabi, doesn't it? But even you struggle to get an office there.
That's right. Because, a lot of the, people that have set up in Almeria, they also have clout, and it's kind of a first come, first serve type of situation. But we found office space. We're very happy where we are. We're just a stone throw away from Almeria. And it's wonderful. There's lots of room in Al-Ream, lots of room for expansion, and there's lots of businesses moving in.
Okay, lots happening in Abu Dhabi. Great, and you're in a good place to capture a lot of that. But there's, as you know, competition globally to be a hub for crypto. Competition within the UAE, DIFC wants it. The Virtual Assets Regulatory Authority here is based onshore in Dubai, in the World Trade Center. 20 seconds on how you're going to cope with that level of competition.
I mean, for us, we have one very, very strong value proposition, and that's we're incorporated here, we're built here, and we're regulated here. We're not from the UK, getting a license here in the region. We're not from, Japan. We're really everything UAE, 100%. And from a geopolitical perspective and from a regulatory clarity perspective, that means a lot to our clients.
Chris, good talk to you. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming down the road, the Sheikh Zayed Road to Dubai. Chris Desjardins is the founder and senior executive officer of Tungsten. It is a crypto custody company that's just got its license in Abu Dhabi Global Market.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.